Thanks, Francois. 30 seconds is way too little to do that. But just continuing in that line, we had an encounter four over the weekend, and I suffered from a bad case of FOMO over the weekend because I haven't missed an encounter four for 10 years, and I missed this one this weekend. So let me just see who did encounter four, who participated over the weekend. Yay. Did you guys enjoy it? Keep your hands up if you enjoyed it. Okay, this is a setup because I'm going to ask you to give a quick feedback. Now Kathleen's turning away because Gashua's going to be first. What did Encounter 4 mean to you, Gashua?
Freedom.
Good answer. Did you experience the Lord over the weekend?
Definitely.
A little bit? On a scale from 1 to 10, where would you say?
16.
Wow, that was a good answer. Kathleen, how was Encounter 4?
Holy Spirit party.
Party. That's awesome. What do you want to tell us else about the weekend?
That the Lord is faithful.
Awesome stuff. So grab someone after the service and ask them how Encounter 4 was. It's always amazing to see how God really loves us and He really does things in our lives. And so I want to just quickly introduce Eugene. He was sharing this morning as well. Got a break at the previous service. But I was really just inspired. I don't want to give away your sermon, Eugene. But just this morning again, I've known Eugene for about 14 years. And we haven't been in touch that much, although there's the occasional divine appointment that Eugene has, and then he phones me and we need to do a follow-up. I don't know if you remember that. But just to see the faithfulness of God in his life, and just to see that he's going strong after so many years, and he's really got a powerful testimony that he wants to share with us this evening. So let's just pray for him. Father, we thank you for Eugene. Thank you for everything that you've placed in him, Father. Thank you, Father, that you've made him strong, Father. We want to celebrate him, Father, this evening. And Father, we want to receive him this evening as a prophet, God. As a righteous man, as a prophet, God. Recognizing that, God, you've sent him here this evening to do something in our hearts and change something in us, Father, so that we can be more like your son, Jesus. And so, Father, we receive him. We receive the message that he brings, and we bless him this evening. Everyone says, amen.
Thank you so much, Reino. Wow, I made some space here for me because I'm not going to be in one space like this morning. I'm going to walk around a little bit. Reino, I just want to say that the Lord is saying that he is busy positioning you and Liana. There's big shifts that is coming, and he's going to use you guys to channel. And just stay in that space because he is busy and he has prepared your hearts for the changes that is busy coming. Now, this morning, when I was worshiping, and again this evening, I just felt that the Lord is, there's a standard that has been raised. And it's an age-old standard that has been there all the time. And that's the standard of faith. It's the standard of where God is at. And you know, this evening, I want to challenge us to come to God in faith. Because you see, we can either adhere to our standards and our ways, and even like Reino shared that word a bit earlier, and we can get accustomed to that. Whilst I was praying, I saw this evening like a picture of us sitting, and there's this piece of bread that we once got. And this piece of bread sort of resembles faith, but it's grown old. And this bread has got stalemate on it, and it's like growing like this high. And we've even come to that place where we take our weed eaters and our lawnmowers out just to keep it in trim. And we go about this old thing that has happened in our life at some stage. But the Lord is saying this evening that He wants to give us new bread. He wants to give us more faith. He wants to increase our faith. And I was so amazed this evening when I walked in here and I saw Matthew. I was listening. Matthew on my way here, he told me about his CD this morning. So I was just listening to Matthew and Tubi this on the way from Somerset West, just jamming it out and just loving it. And then I got in here and the most amazing altar call happened. So he calls out the people for altar call, but it's in the middle of his sermon. It's not at the end or somewhere. It's now. This is the time now. Now is the time for salvation. And five people or six people put up their hands and they gave their hearts to the Lord. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that what Christ is about? What life is about? Is about that special salvation. You see, my life started on the 18th of May 2003. That's when my life started. Boy, I wish I was born physically in 2003, but that's unfortunately not the case. But spiritually, I was born on the 18th of May 2003. It was quite a special occasion. One of my friends invited me to church, and I knew about this church, but I knew their church went on for hours, and hours more than enough for me. And as I entered that place, I saw thousands of people lifting their hands up, something that I've never, ever seen. And they say that when the altar call came, it was actually Pastor Ray McCauley that made the altar call on the 18th of May in Shofar in Stellenbosch. They say that I ran forward. I didn't walk forward, I ran forward. And as I ran forward, my whole life just broke down. You see, my life was at that stage anchored in alcohol, drugs, surfing, woman, drugs, all these things. My life was anchored in that. And that was the only thing that made me tick. I mean, I can tell you a lot of horrible stories, so let's not go there. But when I came to salvation, my life was transformed instantaneously. The old life passed away. It was like brand new. And instantly, the Lord delivered me because He gave me another chance. He gave me another chance at life. And the person that I was and the person that I became was just so different. Now, that is most probably the most important meeting that any of us can ever have, is that meeting where we are reconciled with Christ. You see, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, this evening, if time allows, I'm going to speak on many areas of reconciliation that has happened in my life. Now, the most important reconciliation was the one that I told you about now. Then there were further reconciliations to who my boss was. Tell you about that one just now. Reconciliation with the Father and many other people that I've seen where their lives has been reconciled with the Lord and what His plan was. You see, Colossians 3, 1 to 3 says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You see, my life has recently changed quite dramatically, and I've got the privilege to work with two really amazing people. I work in Stellenbosch with Pastor Sias 2 days in the week, and then 2 days in the week I work with Pastor Heinrich in Somerset West, which is my local congregation. Now, before I worked where I'm working now, I had a different career. You see, after I came to salvation, I also started to work. And it was actually a miracle that I got work because, you see, back then, everything was as uncertain as it is now. And I thought I would never find a work, and I got a job. And I remember it was actually from going to a party. And after the party, the owner of the company said, "Eugene, don't you want to come and work for me?" And I didn't even know what I was going to do because of, I didn't even ask. I was just so happy I got home that evening. And I remember my 8-year-old granny was sitting there, and I was just so happy that I got a job. In any case, so I started working at a fiberglass company. Can you believe it? I studied business management at Stellenbosch, and I started to work in a fiberglass factory. Who would have thought that I would end up working at a fiberglass? Have any of you touched fiberglass? Duncan, that was here in the first service, he knows fiberglass. He glosses a lot of surfboards. But fiberglass is probably one of the worst products that you can ever end up working with. I mean, the stuff goes in everywhere. It itches everywhere. I mean, you just can't get away from it. It's just everywhere. I remember the times when it wasn't always easy, you see. I remember the times when we just started a new factory, and we started to take all the waste that we used to accumulate over a number of years, and we built a machine that made like a fiberglass blanket. And this machine used to be on the scrapyard, and we reconciled the machine back to life, and we worked with this machine, and it was just an amazing testimony of how God just came and how we could recycle waste into a product that we could actually use in an import market where other products used to be imported, and then we started to make this product locally. But what I wanted to get to is that in the evenings, and this was probably about just the same time as when I got married. I've got a wife and 2 children. They're 3 and 5 years old. But before then, I used to get home in the evening, and I was just so full of fiberglass in my whole body. I had to go and lie in the bath for probably half an hour to an hour just to get all the fiberglass out of my body. And it was really tough working at this company. You see, I always thought that at some stage there's going to be a change that happens. And I really had a heart for the people that worked at the company. And I remember the specific time when I went on a cold call, and the owner of that company phoned me the very next day, and he said, "Well, listen, would you like to come and work for us?" And I thought, "Yo, fiberglass, here I go, I'm gone." And that weekend I went to go and pray about it, and the Lord said, "No, you must stay." So I thought I was clever, and the offer came through, and it was double my salary. So I went to my boss at that time, and I said, "Listen, Mr. Boss, this is the offer that I got now. Can you do something about it?" And he looked at me, and he said, "Looks like you've got some tough decisions to make." He's a straight shooter. He always called the point to the point. And I had to sit, And I had to wait and I had to eat up. But, you know, sometimes we go through difficult times. And, you know, life throws all sorts of things at us. And there's many times that fear actually enters in. You see, 1 John 4:18-19 says that there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. You see, there were many times that I went to work and I was in absolute fear, because it was like torment going to work. And the reason for that was, every time something went wrong, it felt that the whole world and everything was on my shoulders. And it felt that everything was against me. And I remember one day I was driving home, and whilst driving home, my boss at the time phoned me and he said, "Eugene, did you do X, Y, and Z?" And I said, "Yes, yes, sir, I did X, Y, and Z." And then he said, "Can I go and check that you have done it?" And I thought, "Yo, we've had this relationship for 10 years now, and you don't trust me. How's this possible? I mean, I'm 2IC. We've got factories. I manage 2 of the factories in the group, and he's the MD." And I thought, "Yo, Lord, how's this possible that this man doesn't trust me?" So I put the phone down and I went to complain by God. And no, the Lord told me, "You know, the same way that he doesn't trust you, you don't trust me." And you know, it was quite an interesting journey to regain trust, to trust the Lord again, even at that, in that area where I thought that I trusted him, but I never really trusted him. So, you see, I had to go and forgive my boss. That was the key for a new restored relationship. See, I was walking around and I had so much pride and so much arrogance in many ways that I really felt that he had to apologize to me. But I had to forgive him. And you see, when I forgave him, our relationship turned around like you won't believe. We just started to really get along. And he's from a different belief. He's not Christian yet. But I'm really trusting the Lord that one day he will have a massive encounter with Jesus. Now, after this, the spirit of working, the Lord started to speak to me about a new season. And at the end of, or the beginning of last year, somebody got a word for me that said that I'm going to go into a season of rest and training. So I'm going to fast track this a little bit, because I want to tell you about another reconciliation, which was with my wife. Or maybe before I tell that, let's share this part. So the one day I was on holiday, it was probably about 2 years ago, and my little boy and myself, we went skateboarding in Onrus, and he was about 3.5-4 years old, and he's on his scooter, I'm on my skateboard. The next moment, the owner that gave me the job stopped next to us, and this guy is like this big, he's huge, he's like this giant. And he stops next to me in his Porsche Cayenne, and he says, "Hello, Gino, how are you doing?" And I said, "No, we can't talk now. The cars are busy, like, stacking up behind us. It's a busy summer's day." And I said, "Go and park over there, then we can have a chat." And my little boy's never met this man. He looks at me and he asks, "Papa, wie's daai oom? Dad, who's that? Who's that man?" And I said, "That is my boss." He looks at me. He says, "But I thought Jesus was your boss." You see, many times our children speaks prophetically in our lives, and even people that is around us. You know, from that day, I realized again that my boss, my creator, my maker, is actually my supplier, and not a human being. And so the journey of faith really started to excel. You see, last year, at the end of July, I had quite an interesting moment because the Lord kept on talking to me about a new season that I'm going to enter in. And yet I've been driving in at work for about, 12, 13 years that I've been driving diligently in every day. I live in Somerset West, so the trip to Belleville is about 40, 50 minutes every morning. Quite a nice time to spend time with God and really worship. But in any case, but I kept on asking, so when is this time? When is this time of being released? And I remember so clearly one Friday afternoon I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, would you send 3 people over my path this weekend to release me into the next season? And maybe some of you were at that session. There was a session that I did the Saturday, actually before I resigned the Monday in Gardens Church. And I went, and that evening I just spent some time with the Lord. And the next moment His presence came over me. And He said, my son, I don't have to send 3 people over your path. I release you into your new season. You see, many times we are reconciled to Christ, but our reconciliation with the Father's heart and what His heart is for us, we sometimes get misaligned from what His heart is for us. And I was so excited. So the weekend was really amazing. The Lord sent 3 people over my path just to confirm, just to make me calm. So the Monday morning, obviously, the Lord released me. I'm not saying that you guys must go Monday and go and resign at your jobs, but we must listen to what the Lord says. So the Monday morning, I walk in and I sit my boss down. Bring him some coffee, and I say, listen, Richard, today I would like to resign. Now, can you imagine? He comes from a weekend. I've had all this time with God. There's a lot of stuff that needs to happen. Yes, somebody brings you coffee. And he says, listen, I'm resigning today, and I would like to work out a month and 2 months part-time to make sure the handover is good. And the reason why I'm resigning is I'm going into ministry and in business. Man, did I not expect what happened next? He jumped up behind his desk. He hugged me. He said, wow, Eugene, that is amazing. You can come and minister at all our factories. We can start businesses together. We can do all these amazing things. And I was just so gobsmacked, you know. You know what started to happen when He released me into ministry in that factory? There were so many people where their lives were changed, where people were filled with the Holy Spirit, started to speak in tongues, where people came to the Lord because of that open door. And still today, I've got a very good relationship with Richard. You see, when we step out in faith, the Lord comes and He provides. It's as if we step into that river, into that place where He already is, where He already is working. You see, God has got a plan with each one of our lives. And the only thing that pleases Him is faith. And where does faith come from?
Hearing word.
Amen. Putting Matthew on the spot. Faith comes from hearing, hearing from the Word of God. How does our time with the Lord look? You see, every morning for the last 2 years, I get up at 5 o'clock to spend time with the Lord. But it's not a force. It's not as if I drag my feet out of bed. Yes, there is maybe one or two days that it's more difficult. But for most of the time, when I get up in the morning, the Lord's presence is already in the room when I enter there. Because there's a special time. There's a time of intimacy that He wants with each one of us. I don't know when that time is for you. Maybe it's in the evening. Some people are mornings. Some people are awake in the evenings. So, the journey of faith is what the Lord wants to reconcile us to. Then there's another very tough story that I would like to share. In this time, my wife and myself, we went through a very difficult time relationally. And just, we got our second child, and the boy was 10 days old. And I remember that evening so clearly. You see, my wife has got a very high pain threshold, like most women. I mean, you can just pinch me and I scream, but she's got a very high pain threshold. So, and she said, I think my appendix has burst. Was there something wrong? We Googled. So we took her to hospital with a 10-day-old baby. And we went for tests, and they couldn't find anything that was wrong. Nothing. They went for scans, and then the scan machine broke. And we were just sitting there, and we didn't know what was happening. You see, it was really extremely excruciating, because you can see your wife is in like the severe pain, but you can't do anything. All the doctors come, and they come with the craziest of excuses for why certain things are not working. I don't want to go into too much detail. And you see, I remember the evening when her appendix burst. She was on the hospital bed, and it was so tough because they didn't want to give her the pan. She had to get up and go to the toilet to relieve herself. You know, she was lying there on a bed that evening, still trying to breastfeed the 10-day-old baby. And I remember that time when I just sat there. I was just in absolute despair. I really feared for her life, and I also feared for what was lying ahead of us. You see, that evening, I only had Jesus that I could draw close to. And I remember it so clearly, sitting on that hospital bed next to my wife, and they still didn't diagnose that the appendix actually burst. And sitting there and just going into worship, just going into that quiet place of reaching out to God. You see, in the natural, there's nothing that anybody could do. I couldn't do anything else. You know, my dad got so furious with me because he wanted me to do X, Y, and Z and sue this and do that. But you know what? Not a man can change that situation. But it was God that had to come and bring that breakthrough. 2 days later, they did an emergency operation on her. And then they discovered that they first thought that it was something with her afterbirth. And then they discovered that it was actually the appendix that burst. And through all of this, my wife recovered and she's 100% fine. But you know the thoughts that go through your mind when your wife goes in for operation and it's supposed to be 30 minutes and it takes like 2-3 hours. Nobody speaks to you. You know how much lies the enemy comes to bring into your mind. He takes you on a field trip, brings fear. You know, when fear comes, it never plays fair. It always plays dirty. Then on a lighter note, let's read 1 Peter 2:9 to 10. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Romans 8:37-39. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You see, that love He gave to us. We read in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into this world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. You see, there's a constant working in us of being reconciled to the Father's heart. You see, we are all like vehicles that's busy driving. And you know, the one thing about a vehicle is if it's not serviced regularly, it will go out of alignment. There's things in the steering that will go out of alignment. There's oil that needs to be changed. There's just so many things that goes out of alignment if it has not been tuned. And this evening, what are those areas that our lives are out of alignment with God's standard, with what He wants for our lives? You see, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. You see, God's heart is always to reconcile us back to Him. Those areas where we are not reconciled, He wants to reconcile us back to His perfect will, back to His standard, back to His way. And you see, the only way that we can access that is when we come to Him in faith. Because faith is the only thing that pleases God. This amazing piece of scripture. Hebrews 9:16-17. The mediator's death necessary. For where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. It's testing my English here. When Christ died, our inheritance was secured. When He died, our inheritance was secured. You know, I read up some stats that there's about 3 million people in South Africa that is owed 45 billion worth of inheritance that's not claimed. 45 billion rands worth of inheritance. How much more is our inheritance? How much more Because it is because of his death that we can claim that inheritance. You see, many times we walk here on earth and we do our thing, but we forget that we already have our inheritance. We can already walk in that inheritance because Christ has died. You see, we don't have to wait for our Father to die. Christ has already died so that we can have our full inheritance. And this evening, I'm asking each one of you, what is that inheritance? What is your inheritance? You see, Scripture is so amazing. Now I must find that Scripture. 2 Corinthians 5:18 to 21. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. See, there's only one ministry, and that's the ministry of reconciliation. You see, there's only two things that the Lord is speaking about. And the first thing that he speaks about is that we need to love him with everything that is in us. And once we have found that love, we can walk out and we can love our neighbor as ourselves. Though if the whole world can only do that every day, or just even one day, do you know how much this world will change? If we just do that, just love the Lord with everything that is in us and love our neighbor as ourselves. You see, each one of us, we've been entrusted with a ministry of reconciliation, bringing people back to the perfect will of God, bringing them back to Jesus, who reconciles them with the Lord's heart. I want to end off with just an amazing testimony that happened to my wife about 2 months ago. There's this one colleague that she's in the medical profession. She's a medical representative, and she's been doing that for a number of years. And she's got this colleague that she's been working with for probably the last 5 or 6 years. And she's constantly talking about him, constantly praying, and just whenever it's a conversation, it's about this guy that works with her. And we really prayed for his salvation, but it just like never happened. It never came about. Even though we started to know the family, his wife knows Jesus, he's got beautiful children, but there's just this block in his life that he hasn't met Christ yet. And you can see that all the answers that he's looking for, that relationship that each one of us is looking for, is in Christ. And it so happened one day that he traveled up the garden route, and when he came back, there was a massive fire. And he had to travel through this fire, and then the whole traffic stopped. Everything came to a standstill. And he couldn't go past, and there was flames coming from behind him, and also from everywhere there was just flames. So he decided that he's going to turn around. He's going to make a U-turn and go back through the flames that he drove through. And that day, he had a panic attack. He was actually hospitalized. And my wife went to see him after he was dismissed. And she phoned me and she asked me, "Eugene, what must I do?" I said, "Share the gospel. share the gospel. It's the only thing that you can do, is share the love of Christ. And there in his car, they prayed the sinner's prayer, and he came to radical salvation. 2 weeks after that, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And the week after that, he was baptized in water. Now, that was years of praying, but there's breakthrough that is coming. And I really believe, ending off with this, that each one of us, there is an inheritance that we need to lay claim of souls, of people that is working with us, people that is living close to us, flat blocks, people next to us, that we need to bring that inheritance in. And I want to encourage you, because the season of the end of the times is coming closer and closer and closer. And the Lord is busy waking people up. He's busy raising us up to bring in that harvest. You see, sometimes we are content with our lives as it is. But there's an urgency to bring the gospel. Because the gospel is the only good news unto salvation. You see, when we read the newspapers, when we read all the stuff that's going on in the world, there's no salvation. But when we read the gospel, it's the only answer. And I hope this evening that I've encouraged each one of you sitting here to ask the Lord for that new bread, to step out in faith. The band can come forward, please. To step out in faith, to take the old things that we have been just been growing cold in, that we take it to the side and that we come and sit at his table, because there's an inheritance that's awaiting us. We need to claim that inheritance. Whilst I was praying this afternoon, I just felt the following. There's somebody here this evening that you are feeling very far from the Father, and he wants to embrace you this evening. And then there's somebody that's, you're sort of sitting next to a waterfall, but the Lord is saying that he's going to move you under that waterfall. And then there's someone that you feel that you've been stuck in a barbed wire. You're in that wire, and you just don't know how to get out of that wire. But this evening, the Lord is coming to release you. And this evening, just know that there's two groups of people. And the one group is, you've really come to a place where you really need to experience the Father's heart again. You see, you've really been taking that old bread and you've been trying to eat that. It's not good for you, because the Lord has got new bread for you. And then there's another group that needs to be activated in faith. That even the things that has happened in the past, that we can put it on the side. You can say, that's not what God is doing now. To come and build our faith, to release faith, so that his kingdom can come, so that we can lay claim to our inheritance. Because that's what Jesus wants. He wants us to lay claim to our inheritance. I'm just going to pray for us, and then the worship team can just continue to minister worship. And if there's anybody that would like to respond, we want to pray with you afterwards. Thank you, Jesus, that we can come to you this evening, Lord, and that we can draw close to you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you make intercession for us, Lord. Even as we are sitting here this evening, it's not in our own ability, Lord God. We cannot come with law. We can come to you through faith, Lord, by the Spirit this evening, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that just release faith, Lord, over each one of us sitting here this evening. A new standard, Lord God, or your old standard, Lord, but that we will see it, Lord God, and that we will know it, Lord God, and that we will access it, Lord, because it's your goodness and it's your kindness, Lord, that leads us to you. Come and give us new hearts, Jesus. Come and increase our faith, Lord. We don't want to eat that old bread anymore, Lord. We want your new bread, Lord. Give us our daily bread, Lord. Every day, Lord. Come and wash us with your Spirit. All the old out, Lord. All the areas, Lord, where we are malaligned, where we're not reconciled. Even some people that we need to forgive, Lord God. We let them go, Lord. We want to be aligned, Lord.